aren't true. That right is wrong and that wrong is right, and somehow we're enlightened because we are starting to accept things that in God's eyes are not acceptable. But that's not enlightened. Enlightenment comes from the Word of God. The Word of God literally illumines our path. It is called the way. It is called the light. And certainly that's what we're looking at when we talk about being enlightened. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18, Paul, through inspiration, says, "I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope he has called you to." Hope is one of the most important parts of our faith. When I was younger, I used the word hope like we would use wish. I wish had $1 million. I wish Santa Claus would bring me this. I wish the politicians would tell the truth. You know how that goes. But hope is not that. When hope is used in a scriptural way, hope is talking about a longing expectation. The hope we have is because God is faithful. There is no way that God is not going to keep his promise, both for that which is good for those who are faithful, but also for those which people would prefer not to happen, for those who are unfaithful. But he enlightens the eyes of our heart. He's talking spiritually here. He's not talking about our physical eyes or our physical hearts. He's talking about that spiritual side of us. When we talk about the heart from a spiritual standpoint, we're essentially talking about our essence, that which is good or should be good or evil within us. Now, the heart and the soul are certainly two separate things, and God talks about them from a separate way, but they are so closely related that they're hard to separate. The soul would be the eternal part of us, but we also have this spiritual heart, and Paul prays that the spiritual eyes of our spiritual heart may be enlightened in order to know the hope he has called you to. One of the reasons that we read the Word of God is for that enlightenment, so that we can have that hope. I'm looking forward to heaven, not because I deserve it, but I've been given the right. We're told we're justified with this. And since we're justified, since we have this right, why not look forward to it with gleeful anticipation or joyful anticipation? Always being vigilant to make sure that we're doing our best to abide by his word. And that's why we read and we study on a continual basis. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, we're told why we have this hope. It says, Paul, again, writing to the church at Thessalonica, says, "God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." We were created in Christ Jesus to be with him in heaven forever, not to suffer wrath. Now, we understand this, but we also know that Jesus gave a really firm warning in Matthew chapter 7, where he said, "Wide is the gate and broad is the path that leads to destruction, and many enter it." Most people are on the path to hell, but that's not God's will. God's will is that all be saved, that all repent and come to a knowledge of salvation. But he also knows that only a few will take him up on his offer of grace and on Christ's offer of justification through his blood. But he didn't appoint us to suffer wrath. That's, I think, one of the most maddening things for us as we look at our friends and family sometimes who we know, by their own words, have not made a commitment to God or to Christ. They have never, even though they might have heard the word, they've never believed it to the point where they acted on that belief by repenting, by confessing their belief, and by being baptized so that their sins could be washed away. And so we know there'll be a lot of people to suffer wrath, but that's not what God put us here for. And for those who are Christians, for all who have been appointed unto eternal life, the wrath is not for them. We're here to receive salvation. Yet, he wrote that to the church at Thessalonica. In a second letter, he told them that the wrath would come for those who chose it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. I've mentioned this before. This is one of two passages of Scripture, I think, that have caused me to study more than anything else within Scripture. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. There's no ambiguity here. He will punish those who don't obey, those who don't know Him. They'll be punished with everlasting destruction, shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of His power on the day He comes to be glorified in His holy people and to be marveled at among all those who believed. That final day, that day when Christ comes again, when He returns, when He returns for His second coming to take us back with Him, it ought to be a day of tremendous joy. But for most people, it will be a day of sorrow. It'll be a day of God extending His wrath towards them, not because He chose to do so, but because they chose it for themselves. And He's very clear, those who do not know God and don't obey the gospel of Jesus will be punished. This is why we study. This is why we read. Obviously, our motivation ought to be because we love God. Why would we want to do anything else? But for those who are not so motivated by love, God has extended the punishment. If you're not going to do it because of this, then you better be considering the punishment. And if that doesn't get us to turn and repent and to love God, well, there's no hope. And God wants us to have hope. That's why He enlightens the eyes of our heart. So we look forward to it. And let me just say that, don't you? Isn't it nice to be a Christian? We don't deserve it. We know what we deserve. We deserve the same punishment that everybody who is apart from Christ is going to get. But God, because of His love for us, extended His grace with an offer. If you will do this, I will do this. And isn't that nice? Isn't it nice not to have to worry about going to hell? Now, it's never, as Guy pointed out in class, we still always have our part to do, and we can still fall away, and many do. But that's why we want to read. That's why we want to study. We want to make sure that we're on that right path, because He'll punish those who are not. There's one final passage I want to share with you today. It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 18. I always like the way that Paul talks to those that have been close to him, that he's converted at one point or another, or at least has had a part in their remaining faithful. Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made about you, so that by following them you may fight the good fight, holding on to the faith and a good conscience. Some have rejected these and have so shipwrecked their faith. Now he tells them, hold on to your faith. Remember, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the words of Christ. But shipwrecking the faith. Have you ever, Reggie's been on a big ship. He could tell you something about that. I've ridden on several big, I don't know if they were boats or ships. They were called ferry boats, but they're as big as a ship. And I can remember going up to Canada, up on that ferry boat when I was a little boy. Our destination was Canada. That's where we were going. If we had been shipwrecked, that means we don't get to go to Canada. Well, that's sad, sure enough, especially if I drowned at such a young and vibrant age with so much promise in my life. But the point is this. People shipwreck their faith. Do you remember that the goal of our faith is the salvation of our souls? We are on our way to heaven, and yet some people's faith is shipwrecked. That means they don't go to heaven. And so when he gives this charge, this warning, this encouragement, it's really serious. And so he says to Timothy, who he loves just as if he was his real son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies, so that by following them you may fight the good fight. Any of y'all ever been in a fight? Unfortunately, because my mouth was so large when I was younger, still is, I know, but I didn't keep it closed as often. Carolyn's smiling because, bless her heart, she knows. There were times where I would say something I thought somebody needed to know, information I had that they needed. And sometimes they would take exception to that and the fight would be on. I've never been in a fight that I enjoyed. I've never been in a fight that I walked away from, even if a panel of three intelligent men declared me the winner. I've never been in a fight that was good, that was not hard, that didn't cost me something. And Paul is saying to Timothy, it's a fight at times to stand up for what's right. Sometimes you don't bring the fight on, but Satan does. But he just says, fight the good fight. If we'll be faithful, if we can keep from shipwrecking our faith like some have done, we're going to make the destination. And that destination is heaven. And aren't we looking forward to that? Don't deserve it. But if we'll be faithful, by the grace of God and the blood of Christ, we'll be there someday. We have our part to do. If you're not a Christian, you need to have your sins washed away. We'd love to help you with that today. If you are a Christian and you need the prayers of the congregation, we can also help you with that and would be honored to do so. But if you have any needs, won't you let us know while we stand and sing?